Radio Verte presents Ahuga by Corey Zimmerman.
Ahuga Part 2. Smokey Joe, Act 1.
I can't sleep at night. I can't eat a bite. Cause the man I love, he don't treat me right. He makes me feel so blue. I don't know what to do. Sometimes I sit and cry, and then begin to cry, cause my best
Prelude. If I told this story in color, above you'd see a haint blue sky. Counting off. 1925. Chicago is brimming with color, trudging color, seeking shade in the searing summer heat under tattered awnings. As the sun beats down relentless, the broadleaf trees have been reserved for the shady avenues of Lincoln Park and the Gold Coast to the north, where a cool breeze freshens the 3- and 4-story brownstones of the fairer skin. A far cry from the smoldering Black Belt to the south. Bronzeville, otherwise known as Black Metropolis, a strip of city where I have awoken in a strange bed to a strange dame with a cute little snore. Quietly tiptoeing out of the tenement just off 51st, I hoof it up State Street with a severe inheritance of alcohol's after effects. Bronze-skinned children sitting listlessly about stoops, drained of the energy their youth warrants. Mothers lean dangerously out of windows for a breath of fresh air, of which I fail to grasp. By 9 a.m., the whole lot stifled despite any relief provided by the frayed edges of those tattered awnings, where dark-skinned men gather for bouts of tete-a-tete. Ground beat. I saunter, amble, mooch, and stagger amongst the unyielding vertigo north out of Bronzeville toward the blossoming skyline of the Loop. Quote, there's no use trying to pass a Ford, because there's always another one just ahead. So they line up, honking their comically tragic horns,
Ahuga!
Seizing my brain like an engine out of oil and run dry with the detoxification of gin, thoroughly processed by my swollen liver and pissed down a drain, where it leaks out of the corroded pipes back into the city street and into the Great Lake to be swirled about with fresh waters, chilled even on this steamy late July day. Mainstream. The city has a way of entrapping the heat, turning the Loop into a boiler room. Strolling down the cross-stitched sidewalk, the river of folks widens and quickens to the likes of a spring-swollen stream of sudden whiteness. They scurry about in well-shined shoes with purpose, making their way around and around the Loop. Shoes. With determination to fool, if not you or me, oneself in the glimmer of their shine. Pale faces, filing hypnotized toward corner offices scraping the city sky. Pale faces shaded by fedoras, accompanied by steam-pressed suits too thick for the boiler room that is Chicago. Meanwhile, newsboys and newsboy caps hawk papers in the street, shouting tongue-twisting headlines that summarize the light and dark, mostly dark, happenings that are the Roaring Twenties. Promenade. Oscar Clyde Olson, age 20, dressed in a wrinkled suit, utterly devoid of the pinstripes I feel I deserve. I suppose I have no clear idea of where I am heading in life. A change of venue, I suppose. My coin purse ran dry, and all my cash flushed down the toilet with each swig of gin. As amongst the many days, life has developed into one long night after all. And now that I make my exodus for the north, I stroll, rather scuff my shoes below the L train that squeals and deafens overhead, showering sparks upon my stiff shoulders as I struggle with an overstuffed suitcase of Grandpa's books. Wholly aware of my destitute status, my prospects increasingly dim with each step I take toward the golden shimmer of hope that is the North. nonetheless, I carry forth when abruptly, one out of a pack of boys with a handful of stolen candy runs smack dab into my leg. Sweets scatter about my feet as passerbys crush them underfoot, hustling oblivious. And at the shriek of a chrome whistle, he splits before the policeman can give him little more than a slap on the wrist. White boy, that is. Root. I let the crowd wash around me as the abundant number of Lizzie T's honk comically, and if I were not on the brink of retching, I might just laugh, the rumbling of the city rattling my bones. A roar so very far away from the provincial silence and unmoved marrow of my childhood, my biology resists, pleading for mercy. The exhaust sickens me, and the night's trumpet continually echoes in my muffled ears. A drummer boy stubborn to head on home, even as the sun nears high noon. The city's depth lingers in my suit, where the speakeasies have poured the forbidden fruit freely into its threads, where the fruit that now poisons my blood triggers me to heave into the first trash can I see. On the surface, I ignore the onlookers. However, I doubt they excuse me. Riff. You see, the problem is vision. I see double. In one eye, a freedom fighter of the soul, of spirit, for spirit, and by spirit. In the other eye, a boy caught in a grown man's body with a gut swollen with stale spirit. A rotten spirit presently diminishing my soul. A spirit drowning my days abroad, drowning the returned memory of you. This wild abandonment of my previous life has manifested into an unquenchable thirst. One that the sun might fizzle to a dull hue. That is, until that pop of darkness, when forward-looking vision obscures in my bloodshot eyes, and life can finally be digested. Only in the devil's hour have I fared to sit back and relax and melt in the dim. Only then have I managed to dissolve to a degree in which my tormented eye can no longer gauge my sorry self so clearly. Only when that eye is blurry, blind drunk, can I no longer see the way my father must see me. Truth be told, I haven't set foot for some years now in that godforsaken home on the high end of town. In fact, I never plan on it again. My present goal is to forget both him and you. It has been 2 long years since I left home, and 8 years since I thought of you. But here you are, in my periphery, in the side of my eye, your reflection in every storefront I pass. Hell, I never thought of you, not for 8 long years. So I spin and I sway. I sweat and I spit as I shove my swollen gut down the block for the next trash can where I will leave my memories and walk away. You see, that's the consequence of swallowing too much rye. When you swill, all life serves up, it eventually comes right back up. Oh, how my sternum aches. Oh, how my throat burns. That bass thumping in my brain. That bass slapped like a baby's ass. I want more. Incorrigible. A new word for me. Riff. You see, the bassman knows the ways of the devil, I'll tell you what, and how that devilish sound seduces me. I long for the night to take me away from such bright, bright light, and when played well, the chords carry me on, and you away. But for now, the echo of the bassman in the marrow of my bone shall carry me through the blinding, swirling city light as I wipe my mouth on my sleeve, and with each step I take on the hard pavement, my dance-worn shins shatter, and a shiver overcomes me. Sweat drips down my brow to the simmering street as tall buildings do little to soothe the vertigo in my mind. I must say, not only has the Great Migration brought an abundance of color to the north, but I am certain I am not the only pale country boy to haunt these streets, haunted by their own fathers, their own lost lovers, their own tragedies. But I never thought of you. Moving inner voice. I think only of them, these gals out on the town, all on their own, who found themselves citified and graced by newly paved streets in search of sales jobs and grand department stores, despite, in spite of, urban access and moral decay. Women, expected to raise children, keep house, and provide emotional support for their husbands, and, in a myriad of ways, properly contribute to American society. Having wandered wayward, women have been led astray by the siren song sounding out in this unique time. Indeed, I thank God Almighty for those who find themselves naive and empty enough to discover the new thirst to wander unruly for mysterious rooms in search of secrecy and freedom, and drink and dance, and to discover the answers to the questions only to be answered when they learn to knock twice in that particular way, where they can swill, spin, and freely forget and be reborn. Riff. You see, I want to only think of them, not you. They, their heavenly legs, their heavy eyelids, slack, lazy, begging for elation in the night. Yet with another ahooga, I wake to the light of day and I remember it is undoubtedly the Ford era, as old Henry has taken over the world quite indeed. At least on the surface of things, at least in the headlines, on the surface streets. But what does old Henry know of deep down below, of the small type, of the back page, where we are left buried and behind, to do unimaginable things in our own sequester? Ah, the day takes my joy away, and I hear my sternum crack, and the world spins around as the head spins twice. I see new traffic lights and growing traffic jams, and I stop in my tracks, pat my pockets, and shake my head.
Ahooga!
I shake my hands. Turn around. At mid-crossing of the Chicago River, where am I going? I ask myself, even as a cool breeze finally provides relief. I am unsure of what set me off in this direction in the first place, as the soggy thoughts on my mind have lost touch with that me from the hour I set off. I decide to throw my suitcase right back the way I have come, back through the disciplined crowd that is a type of life currently unbeknownst to me, back for the jazzy South, which has had me broke in no time, though where the broke belong, well out of sight beyond the sugar maples of the Gold Coast in the high part of town. I make the return voyage, not knowing what I was thinking, and by 4, I find an appropriately dingy boarding house on the corner of 38th and State. I hand the woman what is left of my purse, a few bills not quite pissed away, to a woman who has seen countless Oscar Clyde Olsons come and go. She shoves the wad of bills somewhere out of sight, indeed to be spent more wisely than I. And for this reason alone, she deserves it more than I. Halftime. First, the room smells of onions, and there appears to be a bloodstain on the floor. I collapse onto the well-matted, long-staple cotton mattress, and with swollen feet throbbing, I nuzzle up with the dust mites, relishing in the stale, humid air, and care not if they feed off of me. For the time being, this mattress is utopia. Even in my repugnance, I dream of women. Sexy blues and sexiful jazz, and I do my all to stop thinking of you. Yet here you are. For 8 long years, I had remembered nothing. I dreamt of nothing. In that downstate whistle stop, I went to bed alone, drifting off to that place where ghosts go forlorn. And unexpectedly, and undoubtedly uninvited, here you are, arising from the grave to hover above my bedstead, a holiday maker of your own. Below those umber brown eyes with tinges of sable blue, entirely unfaded after nearly a decade under the shroud of eternal night, I lay atop a blanket moist with the resaturated sweat of innumerable Iterians of the recent past, not to mention the unmentionable I've learned to long ignore throughout my days of flight. I have learned to ignore my dreams, to turn the light off to the nightmares. I had quickly learned to shut the closet door on your memory. I no longer missed nor mourned for you. You no longer spun about nor turned around in my deepest mind. Or so I thought. And what is it, I ponder, of this new locale that has resurrected such remnants in those concentrated raven eyes staring heedlessly down upon me? I feel almost embarrassed for you to make such effort only to see me pant this hot air, the clothes on my body clinging like flesh, head a mess sunken into this yellowed pillow damp with someone else's breath as I sweat of dread, with my arms spread wide my heart curled up inside itself, trying not to care about not only the awful heat, but your insolence to pry in this most trying time precipitously. I am giving it my all not to care. Go ahead, watch away. Undoubtedly, you will cringe at what you see. Assess me and say my name in that way. I don't care. You see, Josephina? Yes, I shall say your name and get it out of the way. After all, you have come with the sickness, but I know all I need is my medicine. No, of course, I don't blame you. Rest easy. I know exactly who to blame. But in no time, as I look down on my watch, which I have forgotten to wind again, I am certain that by the long shadow drawn about the alleyway outside my rented window, I shall soon enough make you poof nonetheless. No, I don't need this. Not now, not here. What I do need is a drink. Pedal. Soon the bassman will set the beat with a slow, thick thump. Though I now coil in bed, a blue haze will soon glaze over me within a glow that shall shimmer and shine within its own kind of blue. A dark luster, rather. A hue, seldom seen by the surface bunch, let alone by old Henry, plastered on the front page. You see, I get plastered below, deep below your wildest dreams. Where I know I will no longer think of you. As I will take one more swill, I'll sit down my empty glass on the bar and huff and puff until I find another dime to further drown my thoughts. Growing thirsty, I roll over, and I stare at the wall, whitewashed and yellowed with nicotine, cracked and peeling paint, so utterly dry, even in this humid musk. I lean off the mattress just enough to take a look-see under the bed for that wayward dime, but find only a torn poster of a rosy-cheeked man in a black suit with a red bow tie. Dark sunglasses, thick mustache, and a round bulbous nose under a feathered war bonnet. And a stumpy cigar plugged right in the side of his shit-eating grin. It reads in great font, "The Great Warrior Smokey Joe. He will fight your battles if you just be still." I ponder your stillness as you hover above the tips of our noses nearly touching. I'm looking deep into your unmoving eyes, your unrelenting gaze. Halftime feel. Parched tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. I crumple up the poster and toss it at the dented can, but miss. I bury my face in my hands, I crack my knuckles, jerk myself upright, and dig through my suitcase for a pencil and pad. I drop down in a wobbly chair and use the window's ledge. The witching hours are nearing, slowly but surely, as I scribble useless words, curse, yank my hair, and fantasize about throwing myself out the window to the deep dark alleyway below, where I might bleed out on the brick, to be pissed upon by drunkards with their own poetry. The wastebasket fills with written words. But not of you, not for 8 long years.